Blog Talk Radio.
Another year has come and gone. Are you wondering what the future holds? Are you struggling with the decision about love, money, your career, your family? StarsPsychics.com, that's stars with a Z, has the answers you desire. StarsPsychics.com is the best and brightest advisor site on the internet, staffed by top-rated, professional, fully tested, and certified advisors. This is the real deal. At StarsPsychics.com, you create your own personal account, and you pick your advisor by reading their extensive bios. Then you decide on a budget that you are comfortable with. Your pathway to a clearer and brighter future is just a few clicks away. No gimmicks, no bait and switch. StarsPsychics.com has daily blogs and lots of links to help you develop your own intuition. Log on now. That's StarsPsychics.com. Remember, stars with a Z. And here's the best part. They're available 24/7. StarsPsychics.com. Remember, stars with a Z. You must be 18 years or older. Your future awaits.
Hi, everybody. This is Natalie, also known as StarsCast. It's been hectic here in South Carolina. I'm not in Florida, though. Thank goodness I'm not in Florida. But we're going to get some residual from this. And I was just telling our guest today that, this has been a very busy year for storms. Last year we had one nasty. And years before, because I've been here 20-some years, it was just bad rainstorms. So it is global warming because the oceans are very warm right now, and that breeds all of these hurricanes. But nonetheless, we have a great show today. I want to tell you a little bit about what's going on with StarsPsychics.com. Your future awaits. That's the, the site with all my advisors. And we have a special, it's a special in a sense. It's $1.99 a minute. Now, you're going to go looking around, and you're going to see sites that have a dollar a minute. Well, I have to tell you that those advisors are not making very much per minute, and I just believe that the people that are on my site need to make more than pennies a minute. So I'm going to hold with that price. I don't do free minutes. I used to do that, 3 to 5 minutes, and all people would do is get the 3 to 5 minutes, and then they would leave. They would never make a purchase. So you see, it's not conducive to our business. However, I have a lot of great advisors. I think there's probably 8 or 9 on right now, and you're welcome to go there. Soon, we are working on a new design with more bells and whistles, but again, it's just a slow process. It takes months to get that all put together, and then you have to test everything. Yours truly has to go and click all the little buttons and the doodads and make sure it's all functioning right. And if not, I go back to Tony. Tony, this isn't working. So you see, it's a process. Also, I want to tell you about mysticlivingtoday.com. That's my e-zine. It went up on the first of the month. Won't be long. It looks like 8-9 days. I'll be asking for more things to be put into it. I do it myself. It's got a place for you to, if you want to donate. I get some people sometimes to donate because I do it all by myself. I don't hire anybody to do it for me. So it's a big job, but, it's a fun job for me because that's how I get guests to come on my show. I learn about all different kinds of modalities. It's really a wonderful thing, and I've been doing this, the magazine is almost 26 years old. Can you imagine that? Oh, my goodness. 26 years I've been doing this. And Star Psychics is 13 years old. So time flies when you're having fun, I guess. Anyways, I want to bring in my guest today. I'm going to call him my authority on angels. Now, he's probably going to say, no, I'm really not. But I think he really is. And so welcome, Scott. How are you today?
Well, thank you, Natalie. I'm doing very well. I'm dry. I'm in the East Coast, New Jersey, so I just feel so sorry for those of you who have been affected by the storm and the upcoming storm today even. So,
I know, and there's another one behind it. And where I am, we're constantly watching because it looks like it's going a little bit further south, so some of the upper part of Florida will be spared really bad weather. But nonetheless, it doesn't matter. All of these people are going north. Can you imagine? I mean, one time. We ended up in Augusta, Georgia from here, and we had to stay, I guess, about 3 days or something like that, but it was a nightmare. Because, everybody had their pets with them, and birds and cats and dogs, and you had to find the right place that would take all the animals. And most of the hotels would, you know, they would just go beyond because everybody needed to be in shelter. I mean, where are you going to go to sleep? You could sleep in your car, I guess, but that'd be pretty tough. But yeah. And then coming back is a nightmare. My heart goes out to them. You know, I donated to the Red Cross last week, and looks like I'm probably going to have to do it again if I can, because these people need all the help. I'm just, you know, there is something that I can do. It's called a grid. I've done it before. Is you take the state that's affected by bad weather, and you do a grid over it, and you put notes on that state. It does work. I don't know if the angels are helping or not. You're the one that knows more about that than I do. So let's get started with you. How do you pronounce your last name, Scott?
It's Guerin. Guerin.
Guerin. Okay. I wanted to make sure. I didn't want to not pronounce that right. Now, you are amazing. You hold two master's degrees, a doctorate in psychology, but it looks to me like your real thing is angels. I've got your site up, and that site is angelintraining.org. And if you go to his site, you'll see him, and it's kind of pretty cool with you kind of walking away. It's like a little bit of a blur, like you were caught walking.
Oh, yeah.
I love that. I mean, I just love that because that's very spiritual. Okay, so tell me, how did you get started in writing, period? I mean, I always ask all of my guests that because, you know, there might be some aspiring writers in the tool. How do I do this? I've got a story. How did you get started?
Yeah, well, I think, you know, and it's I've done readings. I've had readings done on me over the last couple years, and it seems that this, my lifetime here is like a trail, you know, that I've been a kind of a teacher, a leader, I guess they say, to some extent, but mainly a teacher, you know, for lifetimes. And so for me, it's always come natural to, you know, take a look at something and then put it in a way that people can understand it, maybe explain it a little better, and then write it down. I mean, writing just comes to me that I have to do it. You know, it's not easy sometimes, but
it really is not. Yeah, and you say your latest book, I believe, is Looking for Angels, A Guide to Understanding and Connecting with Angels. Was that a topic that you thought about writing about for a long time?
Yeah.
Or?
Yeah, so I have two other books that just described my journey through organized religion and growing up in different Protestant denominations, and I always felt unfulfilled in a sense. I never had that connection that I wanted and that I was looking for. I didn't know what I was looking for, but I, you know, whatever church or denomination or movement I was in, I always felt something lacking, and so I got into meditation, and that helped quite a bit. I spent many years in more deeper, like Buddhist type of meditation methods and practices. But I had still a feeling like I wanted something a little more specific. And then I came upon an article about Carlos Santana. And I was a big fan, Carlos, and, you know.
Oh, yes, I know him. Oh, yes.
Yeah. And so then I noticed that he hadn't done much, you know, for about 10 years. And then I think it was 2001, Rolling Stone magazine did an article on him. And it was, I'm like, oh, cool. Let's see what he's up to. And it started out with his spiritual journey and how closely he matched his music with his spiritual life. And more specifically, he mentioned at that time, if you remember, he had made a comeback, and he produced a record called Supernatural, and it won all the awards in 2000 for best like R&B rock album. And he had that one song in there, the lead song by Rob Thomas, Smooth, which is still a big favorite of mine. And so I was reading about it, and he explained that a few years before that album, he was at a spiritual bookstore, and he noticed a group of people off to the side, and he asked the owners, like, what's going on there? And they said, oh, they're channeling Archangel Metatron, and they do that weekly. And so that was like, for me, I mean, I studied, I went to seminary, I was always, you know, looking at all this stuff, but I never heard the word Metatron, mainly because it wasn't into Judeo-Christian tradition. And so I did kind of a stop, you know, time out. Who's this Metatron? Kind of got his background. But basically, Metatron came to him through this group and said, you are going to have a rejoin the music industry. You're going to make a big album. And so he's like, okay, fine. And then I guess over the years, the album kind of came together. Very popular, won a few Grammys, you know, worldwide renown. In the middle of that, Metatron came back to him and said, we've given you a great experience, and now we want something back. And he was like, well, wow, what is that going to be? What do they want?
Uh-oh.
You know, what's going on? And the message was, we want you to tell the world about your abuse. And it turns out that he was abused, sexually abused, every other day for about 2 years when he was 10 to 12 years old. And he said, no, I can't do that. It's too personal. No one knows about this. And Metatron said, no, you must do this because the world is going to need to heal. And so he did it. He went on his media tour, you know, Rolling Stone, Newsweek, Chicago Tribune, you know, radio shows telling the world about this. And his message was, I got through this, so can you, right? That, and if you remember, in the 1999 to early 2000s is when the big abuse charges came out against the Catholic Church.
Yes,
and thousands
I recall that.
And thousands of people were uncovered, like, yeah, they have been abused. And he, immediately after he went on this tour, you know, he got emails and messages like, thank you so much for sharing. You know, it was the healing that Metatron promised would happen. And so to me, that what started me on Angels, like, okay, none of this, you know, okay, not none of this, but, you know, you hear read stories in the Bible, Gabriel talking to Mary and, you know, and this and that, and angels doing this and that. But this was in 2000, the year 2000, that an archangel had a direct impact on society to help heal. And that was the spark of this book. I'm like, okay, that's what I'm looking for. You know, that's what I wanted. And from there, it just, you know, exploded, you know, in my mind.
You know, and I think oftentimes, I mean, a lot of people, they just don't believe. You have to believe with everything you have. I know from my experiences, my life, what happened to me. And now I have never seen anything. I hear, I'm clairaudient, but I don't hear all the time. Now my dream, and talking about your book, and it was perfect this morning, I wanted to mention to you, I have a fairy tale in my head but it's hard to put it down on paper. I get a lot of stuff for my magazine, and I notice a lot of the authors do a lot of conversations, and that's fine, but I have one author, I mean, it's just too much dialogue. So this fairy tale would be good for anybody that reads. It would make you feel really good and make you believe in things that you cannot see. And that's how I end all my shows, because that's how I believe. You know what I'm saying? And so, but how, now you got to remember, go back to your first book. What pushed you to start putting it on, you know, either Word or on paper? Did you do it on paper? Did you do it on a computer? What started you to do that? Because I find it very difficult.
Well, for me, I just needed the whole impetus behind my writings and my life has been to discover what I discover, you know, learn, read, investigate, and share it with the world. I mean, that is my purpose in this lifetime. And so I said, you know, I've got to chronicle my life journey, because someone has, you know, either similar or the same journey, especially with organized religion, growing up in a certain either Christian or Jewish or Muslim community, and they want to break out. They know there's something beyond their tradition. And, you know, to me, it's in the same sense, like I did it, I kind of broke it. I found spirituality outside of organized religion. It's there and it's vibrant and it's robust and so can you type of thing.
Well, I was raised a Catholic, and I remember one time being in church, and I found myself looking around an awful lot. I mean, I was paying attention, but I really wasn't. I was probably 10 years old. And I started looking around, and I thought, I said, why do we have to come here to pray? Why can't we do this at home? Because you're saying God is everywhere. Well, but why do I have to come here?
Yeah.
I mean, I think I was getting ready to make my first Holy Communion or something, and I already then was starting to say, and then I realized they passed the basket around, and then I started saying, is this about money? Is that, you've got all this gold in the church, and the churches are very rich, and I was really little, but I sat there, and I really didn't want to go back to church again after that. I mean, I made my communion and my confirmation, but it was a struggle for me because you can pray at home. You don't need to be in a facility of any kind.
Mm.
I wonder oftentimes how many people have an angelic encounter. Now, have you ever had anything like that except for what you heard about Carlos Santana? Did anything ever happen for you?
Yeah, well, one thing, and I didn't really see a form of an angel, but I was working. I was in college, and I always felt like, at the end of a break, I'd go back and be like, oh, gee, back to school and schoolwork. I'm like, okay, I'm gonna get rid of it. I'm gonna adjust this. So I got two jobs and worked about 15 hours a day, and I did that the whole summer because I wanted to like look forward to going back to school. So I was coming back on the last day of my summer break, and I fell asleep on the highway, and I veered off slightly into the left-hand lane, and the snowplow markers just were hitting the front of the car, like bang, 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 woke me up. I just cut the wheel to the right and did kind of a sliding U-turn into the far right lane. And I remember seeing this truck maybe 15 yards away from me. And then that's all I remember. And then I guess I woke up. I don't know what happened, but I became aware the car was on the far left side of the highway again, totaled. I was unhurt, nothing at all. And that was, to me, that was miraculous. I mean, there's nothing, no seatbelt marks, no nothing. And he basically smashed into me, threw me across the road. And so I thought that, and I still do.
That, yeah, that definitely divine intervention. Combat. Yeah, I had something similar. I was in the back seat. My son was driving, and my late husband was in the front. And we were going to go to my granddaughter's soccer game, right? So we're driving down. I'm behind my son now in the back seat. And all of a sudden, a car came towards us. It went through a red light, making a left. Well, I for an instant, how it flashes, it goes really fast for you. I saw my son's wheel turn so far to the left, it was impossible for it to do that. But this guy, we ended up having all of his glass on our window and in the grill of the car. And we got out. I wasn't hurt. My son wasn't hurt. We walked over to the guy. He had probably a broken arm, and he said, oh, my God, I don't know how I missed you guys. And my son and I looked at each other because he's just like I am, and we talked about it. We know how. We were pulled out of your way. That's exactly what happened.
Wow.
And I saw a flash of red, and his car was red, but he didn't hit our car at all. It was amazing. But I think that sometimes the divine will intervene for you and bring things to you and keep, because sometimes, I question myself because most of my friends have passed away. And, and I was reminded yesterday, there's always something's going to happen that you're going to see or hear of that's going to shake you and say, See how lucky you are? You really are.
Yeah.
So, you know, I always say if I'm walking and talking and typing, I feel really good. But I encountered a lady yesterday who had Parkinson's, and she just thought I was – she said, you just look like an angel. And she was okay. She could talk. She could do everything. But you could tell there was something a little wrong with her. And I left that with her because my girlfriend picked me up. And when I was dropped off, I walked in the house and I thought to myself, now see how blessed you are? And when something like this happens, there's a purpose for you. And if there's still a purpose on earth, there's something else, because I talk about it all the time, because I talk to God every single day. Sometimes it's not always really nice. I give him a dissertation about what's going on in the world. Now, you know, what do you call that? What was that disaster that you created? You know, because I believe, but you know, I also believe that, like all these storms and everything, it's a comeuppance for the world.
Yeah, I agree.
Something is hitting you all on the head. What are you doing here? You know, you can change this. You know, I can change this too, but I'm waiting for all of you to get back on the path where you belong.
Yeah.
See, that's how I feel. I feel the world, if you look at the world, it's kind of tipped, and it's on purpose, because so many people, I mean, the other day I was talking to God, and I said, you know what, I don't believe in mankind anymore. I don't believe in people that are being generous, because I'm not seeing it. At least I'm not seeing it enough. And then I rescinded that, and I, you know, just because it was at the moment. So long as I can wake up and be okay, and, you know, there are people who are in such bad shape, but I think the storms, that's the divine hitting you on the head. You know,
Go ahead,
Scott.
Well, we have to keep in mind that we are in a physically bound, you know, world. You know, we're in these bodies that can only see 0.04% of all the electromagnetic energy that bombards us, right? We can only see visible light, and that's a very small percentage. There's radio waves, microwaves, all kinds of things that we don't see. And so there's things that we can't see that are there. And I certainly think angels, past loved ones, all those things are there. It's just that we can't physically see them. And then the other thing is that we have to think out of the box of our time-bound existence here, that there is life after death. There's incarnations. There's you know, people talk about meeting their loved ones who passed. There's a life beyond that. And so if we get trapped into being depressed about what we see here and what's going on in the news, I think it's good to remind ourselves that there is a God, source, power above all that, and that, you know, we're going to go beyond those. It's like trying to go body surfing in the ocean, and you have to go past the waves, the breakers, to get out to catch a wave. Well, all the noise and the news and all this stuff is like the breakers, and we got to remember that we can swim past them to a more peaceful perspective of what's going on.
I know, it's just, but, you know, and I don't touch everybody, but I know, you know, to see how their life is, but I have seen a lot, and, you know, I almost died one time when I was 32.
Ooh.
Yep. I didn't go into, you know, I wasn't out of body, but I probably should not have made it, but I had two of the best doctors. I got some kind of a virus. Not COVID, of course. It was something else, and it attacked my liver. They thought, because they did a lot of studies on myself and another gentleman, we got it from a restaurant, from a drinking glass.
Wow.
And I tell everybody, use straws in a glass. Do not touch it. And it could have been microscopic. That's what they said. And it got in your body. But I couldn't even stand. I couldn't sit up. I laid. I did nothing, absolutely nothing, for weeks and weeks and weeks. And I had to go in and get all these injections so that nothing else would attack me, so I wouldn't die from pneumonia.
Yeah.
But I stayed home. But you know what? I wasn't afraid. I mean, I wasn't afraid at all. I guess I just had this, you know, I did get something on my back wall. It was a huge crystal that came to me during the night, lit up my whole room. And I think once I saw that, I never saw it again, but once I saw that, it just made me realize that you're going to be okay. Just do what you're told, what you're supposed to do.
Did you derive some purpose out of that event? But, you know,
at that time, I wasn't in anything spiritual. You know, I worked several jobs. Tennis was my background. But I had, I had a son. He was 12, and my husband was a teacher. And I don't know. It might have, but I think it took a few years for me. Then I got into astrology big time. And I learned everything I could learn, and I met these two elderly ladies that, you know, are pretty famous in the American Federation of Astrologers, and both of them kind of took me. I was fortunate, so I was meant to learn that. I knew that. And but other than that, no, I don't. But, you know, I didn't have anything that I have now. I have stars. I have planet stars, and I have my magazine. I mean, if somebody would have said you're going to do all this, I would have told them they were nuts. I mean, really, I didn't, and I was talked into doing the radio show. I didn't want to do it, and I've been doing that. It will be 14 years in February. We started on Valentine's Day, and all the girls that I had on the show, you've got to do this. You've just got to do this. Oh, yeah, I got to do this. You can do this. You can do this. That's another thing. Everybody says I can do anything. I can if I apply myself, but sometimes it's kind of like you say to yourself, nah, I don't want to do that. But I find out now, I'm so inquisitive. Isn't that strange? When I was in school, I could care less. I had no influences around me. And now I have a thirst for learning everything. And I'm all about the animals. I feed ducks, mallards here, and I have a herd of deer at night that I feed. And it's just, I wake up and I know I'm going to see them. Well, pretty soon they're going to fly south. But I have little talks with them. And don't go flying south now. It's not good. You got to wait till November. Bad weather down there. Don't go down there.
Yeah.
My son said to me, they probably send out a reconnaissance duck and say, go check out and see what's going on out there in the world. But
they probably know already. Instinctively, they probably do, I bet.
I've been doing this for 3 years, and I really have studied them. I know a lot about them. Same thing with the deer. But anyways, let's get to your book that you have. Now, it's looking for angels. Now, does this give you some kind of a guidance to look for your angels?
Yeah.
What can you tell us? Let's get with the book.
So interesting story so I started after the Santana and like angels. Yeah, that's my next book. And so I started saying, it's going to be like a directory, you know, a guide is what the subtitle is, a guide to understanding and connecting with angels. So I had that. I'm like, okay, I'm going to go through just not, you know, exhaustive, but just short chapters of angels in Judeo-Christian tradition, angels in Islam, angels in Buddhism and Hinduism. And then I did a scientific aspect, like what does science say about angels? And then as I was going, psychology, I'm a psychologist, so you look into that, our perception of reality and, you know, in ways that people can understand. If they're not psychologists or scientists. And then I was like, you know, I need something else to this. I don't know what. So I was at a book fair, selling my other two books, and I had a little poster that said, looking on a book, and I had the title, Looking for Angels. If you have an angel story, you know, send it in to me. And so the woman across from me was a tarot card reader. And over the three-day event, you know, we'd like say hi and this and that. At the end of the event, we were talking about, you know, who we met and this and that. And I said, what do you think of my booth? Her booth was incredible. It was beautiful. Mine had a couple books and a poster. And she said, well, you're overselling the academic part. It's kind of dry. Yeah, we understand you know what you're doing. But you need to have more figurines of angels or pictures, stuff like that, to kind of make it a little more lively. I go, okay, thanks. And then she started to walk away, and she turned back and says, oh, and you need a female voice, too, in your work. I'm like, female voice? Like, I don't know about that. So I thanked her. And then I was listening to a psychic story podcast with Nicole Bigley for a number of months. And every week she would have a medium, energy healer, a spirit animal specialist, you know, all types of people like that. And so I go, she would maybe be good. So I emailed her, and she got right back to me and said, yeah, matter of fact, I need to talk to you about this. And turns out that she's an intuitive as well, Nicole, and she has, you know, clients, and she was getting ready to for a session, you know, praying and meditating, and her spirit team said, you have to write a book about us. And being the person she is, she says, well, I'd love to, but I've got a full-time job, I've got a podcast, I've got clients. You're going to need to send someone to help me get this done, someone that knows the publishing industry, someone who's a writer, and someone who can help get this out. And their interaction was the same day that the tarot card woman said, you need to have
a female
voice. Yeah, that same day we timed it back. And so that's how we got together. And so she provided the second half of the book, which is how to identify what is your spirit team? How can you communicate with them? There's meditations in there. There's descriptions of the different angels and what their specialties are in a sense. And so that kind of completed the book. So that people can go wherever you are in your journey. If you say like, I didn't know much. I was raised a Catholic or Jew or, you know, Muslim. You know, what is about this? So kind of taking it from zero to pretty sophisticated, like how to call on a specific being, what to look for, how to prepare your mind and your body and your spirit to do that. So that's really the breadth of the book, and we're so happy that we're able to deliver on it.
Oh, that's true. But, you know, I mean, there are all these prayers and methods, but it doesn't work for everybody to call upon their angel. For me, I think the angelic experience that I have, well, I had a medium, she thinks it was either Archangel Michael that came to me when I was pretty, pretty ill, or it was Jesus. There was that crystal was like 9 feet high in my room, and it was a golden yellow. Yeah, it was to heal me. I were certain of that, but it woke me up, and I had to see it. Otherwise, I wouldn't have known. Oh, good, she's getting better. Oh, goody. I had to know that it came from that. Everybody said, well, it's your healing. I said, no, it is, but it's something else because it was – my whole room was glowing.
Wow.
And I kept blinking my eyes because I thought that my light, you know, the light on the ceiling was – nothing was on. And it was – that's what – I had to see it. Now, it took me several years after that to get on any kind of a spiritual path, but I started in astrology. I do readings. But, matter of fact, I just had 7 of them. But all of them, I'll tell them, look, I'm not a fortune teller. And nothing is written in stone. When you go to a tarot card reader, anybody that you go to, it's not written in stone. There are so many variables. You know, some would say, well, am I going to end up marrying this guy? I said, well, as of right now, and I have cards. And if I end up doing your chart, I can probably tell you better with that because I'm really, really good at that. But there are things that can happen to veer that person off the path.
Yes.
And you off the path. So there are a lot of things.
Free will.
I have never. Yeah, and free and yes. actually, free, yeah, free will is one of them too. But if it's destined, if it's going to be, and I said maybe it'll take a little longer, I said, but no reader is going to tell you. This is an absolute. It can't happen. It doesn't happen that way. We'd all be rich. It just doesn't happen that way.
Yeah.
And I don't like to have people cling to what I tell them. You know, I have 2 kinds of cards that I use, and then I just start to get information. So I'm really lucky with that. But I said, you're not going to see me with all kinds of crystals hanging and long gypsy earrings. I'm not a gypsy. I'm not a fortune teller with a crystal ball. I will guide you because I care. And that's what I can tell you. And they all loved me because I was honest with them. I didn't say, yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Oh,
but you understand what
roses.
I'm saying, Scott? It's really tough. And you'll go and you'll get these, they're really charlatans that are out there. There's a lot of them. They have to care about you. They have to care. And that's how I am. But as far as really having an angel come to me, other than what I saw that night, during the night, and with that almost near accident, we just saw the red flash up in our faces. Like, it was a near miss is what it was. I have not had anything else happen to me, and I guess that's probably good, but I want to impress upon people that are going to listen, don't go to a reader and think that, oh, this is the absolute, this is going to happen.
Right.
It's not necessarily so.
Right.
It could turn into something similar, but exact,
yeah.
Because if I said, well, you know, Scott, you're going to go get in your car and you're going to go get a wonderful job because you're going to be at the right place at the right time. That's the synchronicity, and yes, that can happen. But what if you don't get in your car because your car won't start?
Right, yeah. You know, one thing I learned over the last year and a half working with on a podcast and talking to people and through Nicole's friends, many have very sophisticated skills and sensitivities.
Yeah.
Some are just strictly mediums. And the one thing I learned, and only a couple people really stuck out to me in this, is that just because someone has the skills and is intuitive doesn't mean they're a nice person. You know,
that's exactly what I told you. They have to care about you. You're absolutely right.
Yeah. And so you have to watch it a little bit and be careful and always turn back to yourself, you know, your intuition, your gut feeling, that spirit inside you working, you know, guiding you, even though you're not, because there's so many people, and I'm sure you know, like, oh, you know, Archangel Michael this morning told me to do this. I'm like, do that, and they have very specific relationships with specific spirit beings, but you don't have to have that to still be guided. Like for me, it's more more cognitive, you know, more clairvoyant, where I get ideas and pictures in my head, and I go with that. Sometimes automatic writing, you know, that's kind of fun.
Well, I'm not gifted like that. Yeah, you're very fortunate. Yeah,
I'll be writing
you're very
something.
Fortunate.
I'll be like writing a chapter or an article or something, and I'll kind of like not blank out, but I'll just kind of, you know, not be paying attention when I'm typing.
And
I'll
you're not really thinking
go,
about it. You're just typing.
Yeah. I'll look back and I go, that's brilliant. Like, where did that come from?
Yeah, who told me to do that? I know.
Yeah. Yeah. The message is, just the one thing on this, that a person doesn't have to be, because you can look at people and know them and say, oh, they really can contact the past loved ones, and this other one can do these incredible readings, and someday, you know, and I'm like, I'm down here and they're up there. Like, no, you know, you're all on the same, we're all on the same path and all on the same level. And that, you know, we're all guided. It's just a matter of quieting our mind and doing that. And however way it happens, it'll happen.
Yeah, and, you know, I would like to believe that if you're a really good person, you'll be guided in the right way. Because there are so many. I mean, I'm telling you, I can tell you things that happened just in my neighborhood with the last storm. And that's when I went in and I yelled at God. And I said, this is not mankind. This is not what should be happening. I live alone. I'll quickly tell you this one. I'm out there, right? I have a drive with leaves, pine cones, and everything, branches on my drive, right? Across the street, kitty corner from me, is this man and a lady, and he's out there blowing the leaves and he doesn't have pine cones because he doesn't have the trees I have, off his drive. So what does he do? I mean, I was like, not livid, but I really wanted to go and tell him and say, you know, thank you for doing. He waved to me while he was doing this, and he saw me struggling with a little broom that was cut off at the bottom, this long drive. And he didn't even offer to help. That's when I when I went in and I told God, I said, okay, that's not a good example of mankind. That's wrong. I mean, you know what? I'm 5 foot two, 100 pounds. If that would have been me, I would have walked right over and said, let me help you, Natalie. Let me help you. You can't. I'll get a broom, even if I don't have a blower to do it. You see what I'm saying? What has happened to people that they're so selfish? Well, you know what it is. They're in their own little square or own circle or own box that they don't look outside to see what's going on. And it really upset me. I came in and I sat on the couch and I have a cat and his name is Muzzy. And I said, Muzzy, I am not happy right now. And I just, why do people do that? He waves to me.
One key thing to tremendous spiritual growth is to abandon the idea of separation. You know, that we're separate, you know, the idea that we're separate from God, you know, because we're born in sin and this and that.
Oh, yeah, all that.
You know,
right.
That's one thing to get over. But to the same extent, you know, everything in this physical world is part of God's creation. And God's, you know, we're all part of, and I say God, not in the religious sense, but source, you know, light and love. We're all part of that. And even though that guy, you know, is still looking in his box and sees you as you and him as him, you know, you're looking at more like, hey, we are we, you know, like, and so.
Because he's not spiritual. That's what I, I feel a lot of people just don't have that higher consciousness. Like me. I mean, I am very, I've done so much for people. I saved people, three lives I've saved in my lifetime. And I don't understand. I mean, he was a bigger man. I wanted to go and shake him up and say, do you see what I'm doing across the street? You didn't. I really wanted to blast someone, Scott, because, you know, sometimes people don't say anything. And then, you know, I had to do it in 2 days because the drive was so much for me. And it's hot here. So I waited until more in the evening. So that I could finish the whole thing, but I had this little stupid broom, not even a big push broom, and my son is busy. He's got two different businesses going. I had nobody. And I'm thinking to myself, oh, my God, you know, and then I thought to myself, well, you know, I could do that to him, but then I thought, no, I wouldn't do that. I'd walk over and say, you need some help. That's not me.
Now,
maybe his next
thing.
Life he'll be better. But this life, he sucks at it, I'm going to tell you. I mean, you know, you wouldn't let your mother sweep something if you knew she was. I mean, come on.
Absolutely.
Get a grip here, people. But you see, I believe in doing for everyone and taking care of everyone and everything and as much as I can. I have a couple of questions. What exactly is the rise of the gnomes? Is it called gnomes, N-O-N-E-S?
Nuns. The rise of the nuns.
Oh, it's nuns.
N-O-N-E-S. Yeah. So that is part of what got me going that, you know, in writing and doing this work is that I see a change in the world. And the rise of the nuns is a term that I got from the census and polling and research when they ask people, specifically Americans, what religious affiliation are you? And then they'd give a list, you know, Protestant, blah, blah, blah. And then last box, none. And so that number of people who are not affiliated with religion has grown, significantly over the years. And last year was highest ever in the U.S. at 30%. And the Pew Research folks, research organizations, say within 20 years, the unaffiliated people will outnumber the affiliated. And what that means is that there's a trend away from organized religion. Not to knock it, because there are pockets of wonderful people and practices,
there are,
and churches, mosques, and synagogues that, you know, really do get, you know, the idea of what love and God and all that is. But for the most part, people are moving away. And then my question that I want to answer is, where do they go? You know, so we want to learn about God or source or angels or spirit. Where do you go if you're not going to church? That's why resources like ours and many, many others are out there to say, like, hey, there's a spiritual world. There's a spirit team. You're surrounded by loving kindness and all different types of beings to help you. All you need to do is ask. And learn a little bit how to quiet your mind, meditate, and trust your intuition.
Well, I do a lot of meditating outside. I sit on my back porch. Of course, you know, usually it's for the mallards that I feed, and the deer are really, I mean, I even have names for my deer. I have one buck that's really, I mean, he's got a rack on him. Mm. He's dominant, you know, when they're that big, and he's big. He outweighs me, outsizes me, everything. And he will come really close to me. And I can almost feel him looking at me, and he's not afraid. He knows I don't have anything to hurt him with. But it's really strange. When you get in touch with the animal kingdom like I have, it takes you to a different place. This is the third year I fed all of them. My neighbor left, and she would feed them kind of randomly. And then I decided 3 years ago, well, I'm going to feed the ducks and their babies, their mallards, and then I'm going to feed all the deer at night. Well, sometimes I have 12, 14 deer at night, but it's really – and I have by a lagoon and behind – in front of a lagoon, and I have – there's an alligator in there. My son said to me, you better be careful going out there at night. And I said, I'm going to tell you something. All of those deer would stomp it to death, and I listen. I put the outside lights on. I'm very careful because I'm not stupid. I know at any moment in time it can come at you, but I always feel safe with them because they're so big.
They're beautiful, graceful, powerful animals, aren't they?
I got some really nice pictures.
Them run.
Yes. And they get to know who you are. And you're communicating with almost another realm and I do it all the time. And my son said to me, I don't know what to call you, little Bo Peep, or what are you, Snow White, or what are you? I said, I don't know. But I said, I'm the keeper, but I'm also a warrior. And so I'll say to them, now don't go back on the road. You got to go back in the woods from where you came, because there's going to be somebody out there that could hurt you. And now it's the rut season, so they have to be careful because the hunters will be gunning for them. Not on my property, and I hate that. I just hate that. But I talk to them really gentle, and I sit out on the porch with them, and they don't ever try to charge me. If I put the food down in a bowl, they back up a little bit, just a little bit. I mean, they could charge if they wanted to, but they don't. But I am careful. Mm. They're still animals, and something could startle them, and I'd get run over, and my son would find me somewhere.
They trigger them,
Well, yeah. But it's when you're in touch with things like that, it makes you feel, you're so happy that I feel blessed by this. You know, and I've studied. I've actually done research on both of them because I want to know what they're up to and why they do certain things. Now, another question is, what were the results of your international studies on belief in angels?
Yeah, so right at the beginning of the book, I had thought, like, let's do a study about this to get kind of a poll. And we conducted an international study, 800 people. I wish I had the budget for more, but that's what we had. It was a branching question type of survey. So 800 people, first question, do you believe in angels, yes or no? Those who said no were, out of the study. Those who said yes were asked, have you had an experience with an angel encounter of any kind? And out of that 600, about 217 said yes. And then people who said yes, we asked, okay, of these 12 common things, common experiences, pick which ones you've had. And from those 200 people, we got 700 responses because people had multiple answers, different types of things. And the first, just to add, it was interesting. The first one, the most popular, was having vivid or reoccurring dreams that are different from other dreams, and to me that kind of, we all kind of get that, like, that's a way that spirit communicates with us.
You're right.
The second one was that getting a strong sense of changing direction or stopping what you're doing, like, don't go there, don't turn left, turn right.
Right.
That's a very common thing. And then hearing your name called when no one else is around, those were the top three. And so that was kind of interesting to see. And so that 600 out of 800, that's 75%, That's about this, that the matches what the U.S. Population believes.
But
about
that's
70.
Pretty good. Don't you think that's pretty
yeah.
good? Because
yeah.
some people
no,
may not
so.
Even want to answer. Some people, you know what
right.
I'm saying? Because for fear of, oh, really? I don't think so.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Right,
so
right.
that's really, that's a good percentage.
Yeah. So that was, and that's the trend that I've been kind of following. I mean, my doctorate is in human development, and I've always been interested on how humans have developed over the years. And certainly in the psychological realm, they're looking for how kids develop, because you can develop curriculum and treatments and this and that. But on a global scale, humanity is always evolving.
And that's really good news to me. I like that.
Well, here's the even better news. Is that, and recently I've been getting direct, confirmation in myself and my connections with spirit, but other people who are channeling the angelic realm, Archangel Michael, and other angels as well, other archangels, they all say the same thing. And one is that the humanity in this point in time is on a path to ascension, meaning that we're all going to get it. In a sense, where the larger population is going to get it to the point where we'll stop seeing separation from us and others and God and spirit, et cetera, that the ascension to a higher frequency, higher levels of love, compassion, and grace. However, and that is written in stone, they say. Like, I don't know what that exactly means, but they say it is done. Humanity is going to do this. And that doesn't mean that there's not going to be a storm before the calm. And that's
yeah.
what we might be seeing here, is that there's a lot of, you know, they're saying it's like when you trap a, you know, an animal gets trapped in the corner, they lash out, and they're trying to, you know, they try and lash out at whoever's, you know, keeping
right.
there. That's
yep.
kind of like the base part of humanity is feeling trapped. And trying to and going to lash out. So some ugly things may happen. Then I'm told that it's not going to be catastrophic. It's not going to be like nuclear war, but it's going to be a little unrest. Again, the storm before the calm. And I just happen to believe that. And I think you know, if you look for it, you can see it. You know, you can see the good.
Yeah, look for the silver lining
out.
Because it's always there. There is always.
Yes.
You know, sometimes I get annoyed. I mean, we lost power here. I mean, and then at the same time, my PC, and I have a big tower because I have to do a lot of work. I've had it for 13 years. It decided to do a number because of the virus software and then blah, blah. It was a long process. I sat there and I thought to myself, I'm so angry about this. Because, you know, you don't have your internet, you don't have your phones. I didn't have TV. I was watching everything on my cell phone, which that really annoys me because I go and I watch people and all they are doing is looking down at their phones. That's another thing.
Yeah, yeah,
that's
yeah.
another thing that's wrong. There's a time and a place for it.
Yeah.
There's a time. Why don't you communicate with that person on the phone or talk to
right.
them? Because everybody, you see it, everybody's got their head down in their phones.
Yeah.
So I'm watching this movie. I don't even remember what it was because I couldn't do anything else. I couldn't be on the computer. I couldn't watch TV, but I could see something on my phone. And I stopped and I thought to myself, now you can't be getting upset about this because this is all going to be fixed. You can't blame anybody. Sometimes it's not
right.
one person's fault. It's a little bit of a chain reaction. This happens and this happens and this happens. But I have to step back oftentimes, and I know how to do it. It's just that I would just like to fix everything. You know, I'm just
yeah.
– but you can't do that. You know, I've
right.
not – I have – had a voice wake me up in the middle of the night. I don't ever, when in the waking state, I don't get stuff like that. But they'll wake me up or I'll hear a phone ring, but my phone is not ringing. It's another phone, okay? Now, last night, I have to tell you this because it's about a book. I was in my dream and I kept seeing all these numbers and the storyline that I had for this fairy. It's really a fairy tale. It's a beautiful story. And I kept seeing this and I woke up and I thought to myself, maybe that's a nudge. I better write my book. Maybe that's a nudge. It's time to start. Because I don't usually do that. And I'm going to tell you one other thing, is that my husband passed away 12 years ago of Alzheimer's. He tried to kill me every day. And that's besides the point. That's because it wasn't him, but he had a very bad temper. But nonetheless, he passed away, and I think it was about 4 years ago, because I asked my medium friend that worked for me. I said, I had this dream. I was on one side of the threshold at a door, and he was on the other side. And he reached over to hug me and say, I'm sorry. And my one friend said to me, you have to have permission to do that in the spiritual world. You can't go back and you can't go into the now. You are in another portion. I said, it felt nice. It was good. You know, I heard him say, I'm sorry. But it was funny. It was like watching myself and watching him reaching over that threshold of that doorway. But it was really so cool. Unique. And so I think that was a way of, please forgive me all that I did to you. You know, I didn't. And, you know, I always tell people ask me about it. And I say, I miss what he was, not what he became. He became something. And it's one thing to say it's your mother or your father, but when it's your husband, that's really hard to deal with. But I did. I took care of him for a year, over a year at home. But I really feel that, and that's what else I wanted to tell you. I saw the feet of Jesus. I was in the bathroom, and I had myself locked in the bathroom, right? And I was just crying and sobbing. I was thinking to myself, how much longer do I have to go through this? I looked down at the floor, and this is the truth, Scott. I saw feet, bare feet, and the bottom of a robe, a long robe. I just knew it was Jesus. I got up, unlocked the door, and I never cried again.
Wow.
Because, I felt like, it's going to be taken care of. This is not going to be, because I asked, how much longer? He died not too long after that. But isn't it strange how you get things? I was a waking state with that. And Jesus came to me another time. And I have an affinity to him anyways. Sometimes we have it through something. And I think he had to appear because I had no help. I was doing everything myself. I would go to the mailbox, Scott, and walk back, and that's all that I did for weeks and weeks and weeks because I couldn't go anywhere with him. I couldn't take him anywhere. And everybody was working, and nobody offered to help. That's telling you about mankind. Nobody offered to come over and give me a break. But I did it. And you know what? I stand tall with it. Because I did it. I did it. And it's because I really think it's because, and the affinity I have with Jesus, it could have been something else, I don't know. But I really feel that was my task. And I passed. Of course I passed. And that was it. And it was a relief when he passed on. Because it was so horrific. I mean, I was like in some kind of another world.
And you probably
felt,
you probably had some guilt about feeling the relief, right? You're like, well, why should I feel this way?
I guess, I don't know. And I didn't resent people that they couldn't help me. They were all working and they had their own lives. And, it's back to mankind. People should make the time. You need to make the time to help people. There's always somebody out there that needs your help for something. Always.
I agree.
So that's but anyways, what time is it? Oh, we're almost done here. Let's see, do I have anything else I quickly want to ask you? Let's mention your website again. It's angelintraining.org, and there's a picture of you, you handsome man, you. she's going to cut me off probably. So, Scott, I want to thank you so much for this. It's been wonderful.
Thank you, Natalie. Wonderful conversation, and thank you, and for all the work you do. Every day.
I love it, I rise up in my chair when I do things like this. I really, really do. And that's what makes it worthwhile. Have an awesome day. And maybe I'll ask you to do something for the magazine that you can put in the magazine, an article or an excerpt. Okay?
Yes, will do. Okay
and everybody,
thank
I'll
you.
Be back next week, same time, same station. And remember, believe in things you cannot see. They really are there. Bye-bye for now.